This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton, joined by Tori Christie, the author of a series of books, including Curious McCarthy's Electric Ideas, which I have in my hands, other books titled Curious McCarthy's Family Chemistry, Curious McCarthy's Not-So-Perfect Pitch, and Curious McCarthy's Power of Observation. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
I have that book in hand, and I'm reading the about the author at the back of the book, and it says, Tori Christie is a real scientist by day and secretly writes children's books at night. When it is light outside, she studies rocks and water. After dark, she writes silly science stories that kids and grown-ups can laugh about. Although she grew up in a large family, her family was nothing like the McCarthys, honestly. The McCarthys are completely fictional, really. Tori Christie lives in Fargo, North Dakota with her medium-sized family. Okay. So how did your upbringing evolve into writing these Curious McCarthy books?
Oh, well, I did grow up in a large family. So what a lot of people don't realize these days is that there are a lot of different situations that you can find yourself in a large family that, you know, with a smaller family, you just don't have. And it can be pretty funny. And it's also really unusual in children's books these days to have a large family. And so that's one thing I wanted to bring in, the humor of a large family. I also wanted to bring in the idea of having a girl that becomes a scientist. And so that was kind of the inspiration for the book.
And the girl is Marie McCarthy, named from Madame Curie?
Yeah. So her name is Curie, so Curie McCarthy, and they call her Curious. And so she is named after a scientist, and unlike her sisters, who are all named after dead authors. And and so that's part of the struggle she has, is she has no role model on how to be a scientist. So she does go about it in a very unusual way and makes a lot of mistakes along the way.
Well, just one more question about the family. Are any of these characters based on real life experiences of Tori Christie?
Well, it's funny you should ask. They are all based on my family, although I kind of mix them up a bit. And none of my brothers and sisters know who they are.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, what made you want to write books for kids?
Well, a lot of things. So first of all, it's a lot of fun just to write. I love to write. I also love the fact that I can inspire kids to go into the sciences. I didn't have these kind of books as a kid. I didn't know I wanted to be a scientist, and I wasn't really sure how to go about it. And I think, you know, these books might be fun for those kids who feel like they might want to try science.
Well, you put some art in this, so this puts a little steam in STEM, pardon my play on words there. Yeah. But why grades 1 and 3? Why was that your target group?
Actually, my target was more in the fourth grade level, but because of reading levels these days and the way the educational market sets them up, they're more for maybe grades 1 to 3 or 2 to 4, somewhere in there. What we're finding, though, is these books are really popular with older elementary and with teachers because of the humor is a little more sophisticated. The reading level is a little bit higher, and so they make perfect read-alouds for teachers.
Well, do you test your work with that age group before publishing? Or or do you just have a sense, you think?
I think, well, when I first proposed the books to my publisher, they thought the reading level was right on. So apparently I write for that age group anyway, just naturally. But I do have a fourth grader myself, and I test them a little bit on her. I also have a team of teachers that read the books for me and let me know if I've kind of hit the target or not.
You referenced your publisher, Capstone Publishers. I went online and looked at them. This is an interesting company. How would you describe it?
Oh, I don't know if I can really describe it well, other than that they're a great publisher to work with. They put out some really nice materials. They are an educational publisher, so most of their books aren't mass market books. They're more for the educational, the school, and the library market. These set of books, though, are available in the mass market, so they're available, you know, at Zandbro's, Barnes & Noble, places like that. But Capstone has some authors, and it's an interesting story here. The editor who picked up this series, her name is Julie Gassman. And when I sent the proposal to her, she thought it was hilarious. And part of the reason is she is the youngest of 9 children. So it was just a coincidence that I happened to get the perfect editor for this set of books.
Well, they're very attractive books, and they're very well illustrated. So talk about the illustrator, Mina Price.
Okay, well, I've never met Mina. She's from New York. What happens in the children's industry is the publisher picks out the illustrator for the books. And so a lot of times the illustrator and the author never meet. In this case, I thought they did a perfect job selecting the right type of illustrator for this set of books. She did a great job.
It's fun to read. It's fun to look at. And it's also interesting, when I page through this, it looks to me like you're introducing young readers to footnotes and references and a glossary. I mean, real tools of education.
Yeah, that was one unique feature of these books, is that they use footnotes. Footnotes was a new idea in children's books and you know, just kind of fun. So what we did for these books, instead of just making the footnotes add clarifying information, we added humor. And that's where you see a lot of the humor is in the footnotes. You also have a little bit of definition, because Curious really thinks she needs to use big words to be a scientist. So we need a lot of footnotes just to clarify some of those big words.
Do teachers use your books in classes?
Well, I do have a set of fifth grade teachers that are using these to introduce new genres to the students and introduce science to students. They're pretty new, so I don't know of a lot of teachers that are using them yet, but they just came out last month, but I'm hoping that'll be the case.
Well, you have this children's author avocation, and that you may be making a little money on it now, but describe to our listeners what you do as your day job.
Okay, so I work for the U.S. Geological Survey. I'm a geologist and a hydrologist. And I do research on water quality. And so a lot of my work takes me into the national parks, looking at more pristine water conditions. You'd think they'd be pristine, but in some cases there is some lower water quality in these national parks, and that's part of what I do research on.
And, of course, you described yourself as growing up in this large family, and what sparked your interest in science?
I'm not really sure where the initial spark happened, but I'll tell you a story about, and it's kind of in this power of observation, the very first book that I wrote. The first thing that happened to me to make me realize that I could really do something with my life was when my fourth grade teacher handed out a sheet of paper to our class and told us to draw a picture of what we wanted to be when we grew up. And so I had a hard time thinking about that. I just thought I was going to be a mom. I don't know. What am I going to be about? So I thought about this. I looked at my teacher. I could be a teacher. I knew some nurses. I could be a nurse. And I thought, I don't want to do either of those things. So what else could I be? A secretary. I drew a picture of a secretary and handed it in. And I thought, boy, we have some great secretaries out there, but that's not what I wanted to do. I was really kind of depressed. And then she handed out a sheet of paper and said, okay, now pretend you're the opposite sex. And this was the 1970s.
This is intriguing.
Yeah. So I'm like, what? And so I knew from that moment that I really could do anything. And so when I sat there and thought about it, I thought, well, my options are wide open, aren't they? And so I drew a picture of the White House. I was going to be president of the United States. Well, I'm not president, but I did get to be a scientist.
That is a very interesting experiment that teacher did, and it kind of opened your eyes. So how about the way you are raising your own kids now, opening their eyes to opportunities?
Well, we're really in a different time now, and I really think kids realize they can do just about anything, and there's not those restrictions that I thought I had in the 70s.
Well, I was thinking, if I'd been given that when I was about that age, and that would have been back in the 50s or 60s, I would not have put down Dad, for example. Even as much as I appreciate and love my dad, that wouldn't have been my occupational objective.
Right.
So things have changed a bit.
Yes, they have.
How long does it take you to write a book?
Well, that's another good question. So the first draft can be 8 hours. I mean, if I always start with an idea in my head.
And these are chapter books.
Yes, these are chapter books, so there's not a lot of words here. So I could write them in a Saturday. Now, they won't be very good books. But at least I have a draft and an idea for where the story's going. And then I start the revision process, where I go through and I really think about the words that I'm using for that grade level. I think about the humor and the pacing and things like that. And it might take, another couple weeks to do the editing on it.
And so then that's submitted to an editor
that's
talking to you about other changes, I take it.
Exactly. So then you submit it to your editor. Your editor suggests some other changes. It's a very cursory review at first, maybe something to do with the storyline. You make those edits, hand them back. Then it goes into more editing. So the publishing company also has these technical editors that go in and change your wording or suggest wording changes. They also have editors that look at the overall message and the way the pictures are combining with the words. And so it's a long, long process.
And do you have another Curious McCarthy book in the works?
Not yet, no. I have some other projects right now. I'm working for a different publisher now doing some nonfiction books, more related to my work. So one is on renewable energy, and the other one is called Where's the Water? And it's all about the water cycle.
And are these aimed to a particular age group or in general?
Again, they're fourth and fifth grade.
All
so,
right.
Yep, about the same.
Well, I look forward to talking to you about those books. These are fun.
All right.
Curious McCarthy's Electric Ideas, Family Chemistry, Not So Perfect Pitch, Power of Observation. Author Tori Christie, thanks for dropping by Main Street.
All right. Thanks for having me.